come in. Oh, now come in.
Get a load of this little gem, which I wrote myself. Let's hear it.
And roses are red, and violets are purple. Sugar is sweet, and so is maple circle.
Well, well, well.
Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Duke, I'm scared of that thing.
By gorgeous time, you've gone too far.
The Retro Radio Podcast. Always family friendly, always good, clean fun.
Oh, wonderful, splendid.
It's the place where new tech
meets old tech and likes it.
You know, little fat man, I could go for someone like you.
Now located at retro-otr.com.
It's a rockin' and a rollin' here.
Visit us today and leave us a comment. Email us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Today's feature is the first in a science fiction series.
Journey into Space, Operation Luna, Episode 1.
March 26, 1958.
Now, here's Keith.
Hi everyone, this is Keith with the Retro Radio Podcast. And starting now, through the summer, I'll be running a special science fiction feature of Journey into Space. I'll be doing a double feature really quick to kick it off. And then every Wednesday, until we get through with the series, at least the episodes that I have, it'll run every Wednesday. I have to say that this first set of shows, the actual air dates, was in 1958, and the second runner shows was in 1954. Four and five. I don't know if they reran it and it was not recorded until then, but I'm going to take the liberty to run the later series first, because actually the second part of this run of the show is a sequel to the part that was aired later, if that makes sense.
To catch the whole series, make sure to visit the homepage at
retro-odr.com.
Before we blast off on this adventure into space, listen to Graham McNamee answer some letters from listeners.
From 1940.
Letters from listeners, and the three or four we consider to be of most general interest, we have answered on the air by the radio editor of some outstanding newspaper or magazine. Tonight's questions will be answered by Miss Betty Coakley, radio editor of the New York Herald Tribune. James J. Connery of Bristol, Long Island, asks, how are baseball games broadcast when the announcers are not at the actual game, and in some instances, not even in the city where the game is taking place?
Well, Mr. Connery, in some broadcasts of baseball games, the sportscaster is sitting in the studio receiving reports of the game as it progresses through Western Union tickers. A real baseball expert knows enough about the idiosyncrasies of the players, their habits when at the plate and in the field, and all color material necessary to recreate the game so that the listener at home imagines he is actually hearing the real game. Sound effects of the crack of ball on bat, crowd noises, and so forth are produced by records, which give the broadcast an authentic background.
Mrs. H.F. Unger of Plainfield, New Jersey, writes in to ask, do comedians write their own jokes?
Well, Mrs. Unger, almost every comedian has one writer or a staff of writers to assist him in preparing his program. One well-known comedian is known to have had from 10 to 12 writers working for him at the same time, but this number is unusual.
Mr. R.G. Thompson of Providence, Rhode Island, asked this question. Is there a rule in radio that our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, must be played to completion once it has been started?
As far as I know, there is no written regulation to that effect. But good taste and respect for the national anthem have suggested the policy that the Star-Spangled Banner be played until its completion.
Thank you, Ms. Coakley, for answering those questions. Thank you.
Now for our featured presentation.
Journey into Space. BBC presents Jet Morgan in Operation Luna.
Operation Luna.
October the 19th, 1965. In the Australian outback, many miles from the nearest town, stands the rocket ship that is about to carry Jet Morgan and his crew to the moon. Beside Jet, the captain, there are Stephen Mitchell, engineer, Lemmy Barnett, radio operator, and Doc Matthews. That's me. Already the scaffolding has been removed, and the ground crew have taken cover from the shattering rocket blast that is soon to send the moon ship on its way. Within the ship, outwardly calm and strapped to our couches, the four of us who are to make this momentous journey are anxiously waiting for our captain to launch us out into space.
Zero minus 45 seconds.
Hello, Control. Stand by for firing.
Standing by, and good luck, Luna.
Switch on recorder.
Recorder on.
Doc, gyros.
Gyros.
Okay, Mitch?
Okay, Jet.
Doc?
Okay.
Lemmy?
Okay, I think.
Stand by for count off. Don't anybody try to move. Don't even try to raise your head. Lemmy, lie down.
Oh, I'm only getting comfy.
Lie flat and stay flat. Firing in 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, contact!
Jeff, what's wrong? You're shaking like a leaf.
Quiet,
let me
take your breath.
You shake yourself to pieces.
5, 6.8 miles.
Oh, what's happening? Jeff, I can't move.
Zero plus 20.
It won't last long.
Oh, why did I ever come?
's paid out.
Oh.
Stand by the jettison booster.
Oh, I wouldn't go through that again for all the rice in China.
You'll be going through it again in just a few moments.
Oh, no. I'll be pushed right through this couch and out the other side.
You all set, Mitch?
Yes, Jet.
Doc?
Ready.
Okay, Doc. Booster, jettison switch, stand by.
Jettison switch. Contact. Now.
Hello, Control. Booster stage jettisoned. Standing by to cut in atomic motor. Waiting for your signal. Over. Hello, Control. Booster now jettisoned. Waiting for your signal. Over. Hello, Control. Hello.
What's up, Jet?
They don't answer. Hello, Control. Hello. Lemmy, any idea what's wrong?
Well, according to the indicator, she's still working. But if you ask me, the shock when you blew the booster off, it must have smashed every valve in the ship.
Radar's still working, Jet.
Hello, Control. Hello.
We can't wait much longer, Jet. We're losing momentum every second. We won't make it.
I'll give them one more try. If they don't answer, we'll have to use our own judgment. Hello, Control. Hello. Hello. Lemmy, switch on the televiewer, stern view.
Televiewer, stern view. On.
Stand by to cut in the motor, Mitch. We'll give her full power.
Don't overdo it, Jet. We can't afford the fuel.
Now watch the tank gauges. We'll cut out as soon as number one tank is empty. Are you ready?
Ready.
Then stand by. Everybody batten down.
Okay, Jet.
Atomic motor, fire. That. This is going to be unpleasant, very unpleasant.
Jet, the tank, she's almost empty. Stand by to switch off.
I'm standing by.
Ready?
Yes.
I can't. My heart.
Oh,
Jet, switch off. Switch her off for Pete's sake.
Try.
Oh.
Is it over?
Yes, Doc. Oh. The time being, anyway. You all right?
Oh. Yeah, I think so. Oh, boy, we must have hit 15 G's at least.
Mitch? Okay, I think. What's up, Mitch?
I don't know. I feel like death.
Yeah, lie still. Don't move.
Lemmy?
Okay, Jet. I think so anyway.
We'd all better lie still for a few minutes.
Well, let's hope we hit the right speed.
We certainly won't be under. You didn't switch off soon enough, and we used up a little of the reserve fuel.
You think we might be going too fast, then?
Well, maybe, but there's nothing we can do about it yet.
I'm sorry, but the acceleration was so great, I thought I'd never press the switch.
But we must get through to control.
Lemmy, if you feel fit enough, get up and get to work on that radio.
Yes, Jet. Oh, soon as you like.
I'll get going.
Oh! Oh, there!
Lemmy!
Oh,
he's drifting up to the ceiling.
Jet! Jet, get me down! Help!
Serves you right for getting off your bed without your boots on.
Well, all I did was bend down to pick him up, and I shot straight up here.
You should have held onto your couch.
Can't you throw him up to me?
Pull yourself down by the rail, Lemmy.
Oh, just a move makes me feel worse. I feel just like a feather.
Well, you certainly don't weigh anymore.
Yeah, is it going to be like this all the way to the moon?
I'm afraid so, but you'll get used to it. Now, pull yourself down. Slowly.
Like this?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, put your magnetized boots on, Lenny.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we'd all better put them on.
Okay, Jack.
And keep them on. Keep them on at all times while zero gravity conditions last.
What, you mean we even wear them when we sleep?
No, you can take them off then, but keep a good hold in your bunk while you do it, or you'll go drifting up to the roof again.
Well, that's mine fixed. Yeah. Well, there's no trouble standing.
What's it like to walk, Doc?
Okay. Feel a bit lightheaded.
Try walking up the wall.
Aye?
Yes, go on. Doc should be easy.
Hey, how's that?
If you could do that down on Earth, you'd earn a fortune in a circus.
Well, come on, try it.
Come on, Lemmy, we'll have a walk on the wall.
Don't hang up there like that. I feel bad enough as it is. Hey, what about that radio?
Yes, cut out the fun and games. Try and get that radio working. How are you feeling, Mitch?
Not so good.
The radar's still working.
Well, that's something. At least we'll be able to calculate our height above Earth.
Yes, but we can't depend on the radar. Not for the whole trip.
Well, we can depend on it for a few hours, yeah.
Well, for height, yes, but what about course?
No, don't you worry, Mitch. Lemmy will get that radio going. You can bet on it.
I hope so. Going. 20 hours he's been at it, and not a peep out of the darn radio.
Oh, take it easy, Mitch. He's doing his best. He's been working all this time with no sleep.
We should never have brought him. He's psychologically unsuitable.
That's a matter of opinion, but now he's here, the least we can do is let him get on with it.
But why does he have to take so darn long? Doesn't he know every second is carrying us further and further away from the Earth, possibly to our deaths?
Oh, it's not that bad, Mitch. We can figure our approximate speed and position if it comes to it. We'll give Lemmy a couple of hours more.
Yeah, what if he still hasn't got through to control?
Well, we wait until our velocity has dropped to minimum and then turn the ship over and go back.
Go back? Go back? This ship's not turning back. It's set out to land on the moon, and it's going to do it.
But if our speed is too high, we'll use up too much fuel during landing. We'll be on the moon, all right, but how do we get off again?
We've got to take a chance.
Oh, no, not that kind of chance. I'm not taking any unnecessary risks with the lives of this crew. If the radio isn't working within 48 hours, we're turning back.
We're not turning back.
Am I the captain of the ship, or are you?
Sure you are, as long as you carry out the job I hired you for. This ship is mine. I designed her. I built her, and she's going to the moon.
One more word out of you, Mitch, and I'll put you under arrest.
Oh, that's funny, that is. Go on, try it. Try it. Just try and lay a hand on me.
All right, Mitch, Jet, break it up. Come on, you're carrying on like a couple of screws.
You stay out of this, Doc. If I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
Now, look, Jet.
It seems we have a case of mutiny on our hands.
Mutiny?
Well, what else is it?
Now, wait a minute, Jet. I didn't...
All right, we'll forget it. But if I decide to go back, we go back. Is that clear?
How are you doing, Lemmy?
Well, I'm putting it all together again now and hoping.
Can I be of any help?
Oh, yes, Doc. You can pass us a few things as I ask for them. But be careful.
One touch and they go shooting all over the place. Talk about light and airy like a fairy.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Then hand us that for a start.
Yeah.
Top. Here, how's the mutiny going?
Well, they seem to have forgotten it for the moment. And they're trying to work out our position.
You think they'll do it?
I guess so. But it'll take a long time. Our real hope is you, Lemmy.
Yeah.
You and that radio.
What made Mitch flare up like that?
I don't know. Maybe the thought that he wouldn't get to the moon at all. Or maybe the cramped conditions and lack of gravity had something to do with it. Must be some reason why two men perfectly stable on Earth should jump at each other's throat less than 24 hours after leaving it. Just doesn't make sense.
I'm not jumping at anybody's throat. Neither are you.
Not yet, you're not, but watch it.
Do you think we should turn back, Doc?
Yes, unless you can get that radio working. However much figuring we do up here, Lemmy, we may overlook something. We can't be sure our deductions are correct.
Oh, I think so, too. Jet was right. Mitch ought to have known better.
Maybe. That still doesn't excuse Jet for losing his temper.
No. Can they hear what we're saying?
If they were listening, they might.
Now, we'll try again.
What do you think the chances are, Lemmy?
I don't know. Three times I put this thing together, and each time she should have worked. And three times I've had to pull it to pieces again. Even the emergency cutting surface don't work. I can't understand it. Makes me feel like I'm letting the ship down.
Don't go getting to feel that way, Lemmy.
Well, now, that's it. For the fourth time. Now, let's see if we get any current through her.
Yes, it's there.
Yes, we've made it. No, wait. Don't let's get too excited. We're not through to home yet.
Then give them a call, for goodness sake. Try to raise them, Lemmy.
Hello, Control. Rocket ship Luna calling Control. If you love me and can hear me, let's hear from you. Over. Not a peep. They should be receiving us. There's bags of aerial current, oodles of it. They could hear us on Mars with this equipment.
Hey, listen. What's that?
Gives you the creeps, doesn't it?
Haven't you any idea what it is?
It sounds like music, but like music I never heard before.
Hey, can I hear a voice there?
I don't know. I can't make it out.
Jet, Mitch, come over here. Listen to this.
Is the radio working?
Well, kind of.
Did you contact your control?
We tried to, but whether this is them or not, I don't know.
Well, if it's not control, then what is it?
Search me.
Are you sure she's on the right frequency limit?
Yes, so far as I can tell. There's no reason why she should drift off. Not with them crystal stabilizers in there. Yeah, it's gone. Packed in again.
Try once more, Lemmy. Call them again.
Hello, Earth. Hello, Control. Rocket ship Luna calling. Trying to contact you. Can you hear us? Come in, please.
Hello, Luna. Can hear you. Strength 4.5.
Hey, it's them. It's them. We made it.
Hello. Hello, this is Morgan. Can you still hear me?
Hearing you loud and clear.
Oh, thank goodness.
We've been with you ever since the takeoff. I should think every amateur radio station on Earth has been listening to you.
Aye?
You mean you've been hearing us all the time?
Except when Lemmy took the radio to pieces.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Must be something wrong with your receiving circuit.
Well, it beats me. I couldn't find nothing wrong. Nothing.
Well, you certainly seem okay now. We can give you all the information you require. Want to take it?
Try and stop us.
And here it comes. The time is now 3 hours, 11 minutes and 54 seconds, universal time. Time from takeoff is 0 plus 27 hours, 11 minutes, and 59 seconds. Your distance from Earth is 142,000 miles. Your speed is 4,200 miles per hour. Your position is as follows.
Well, that's more like it. Now we know where we are and what we're doing. There's no question of turning back now. According to Control, we're on course and our speed is very nearly correct. We should reach the neutral gravitational point between Earth and Moon 3 Earth days from now. The Moon will then be only 23,600 miles away. Our speed will be only a few miles an hour, but enough to overcome the pull of the Earth entirely. From then on, we'll be falling towards the moon's surface.
If we were back on Earth, we'd drink to this.
Cold tea is all we have.
And how about a cigarette, Doc? Do you think the oxygen supply could stand it?
Yes, I think it might. Shall I get them, Jet?
Yes, Doc, one each. And after that, we'll organize the watches, 4 hours apiece. Now, I'll take first watch. The rest of you can get some sleep. You'll need it. We all need it. The toughest part of this trip is yet to come.
Here, Lemmy.
Push us up a banana, will you?
Lemmy, must you always eat your meals upside down on the ceiling?
What difference does it make? Food goes down, or should I say up just the same?
Well, it looks undignified.
It's a great idea to part this. Think of the room it saves.
Anything more to eat, Lemmy?
No, thanks, sir.
Okay, then push your empties down. I'll storm away.
Here, how about a little after-dinner music?
Oh, no, Lemmy, not that.
Well, we've got to do something to pass the time.
Why did I ever suggest that each member of the crew should be allowed to bring one small personal object with him?
Well, I'm glad you did, Jet. Aren't you?
Well, yes, but mouth organs should have been banned. Why couldn't he have brought a book or something?
Every man to his taste.
What was that?
Meteor, hit the ship. Emergency stations.
Noise! Emergency! An animal upside down on the ceiling!
Let me get the spacesuits.
Don't panic, Jet. I'm on the way.
Air pressure constant. We don't seem to be losing any.
The meteor bumper must have worked.
Now, that we'll find out. Meanwhile, get your spacesuits on, just in case.
Here you are. Red for Doc.
Yep.
Blue for Jet. Yellow for Mitch. Oh, I would be free.
Now, get into them. Don't fix your helmets yet, but carry them with you all the time.
Air pressure still constant. I don't think the cabin could have been damaged.
Oh, that's a relief. And what about the fuel tanks and the motor?
I'll be checking up in just a minute.
Right. That's me, Jet.
Get to the radio, Lemmy. Report this to control immediately.
Yeah?
Now, everybody else, check your indicator readings. See what damage there is. And somebody turn off that buzzer, will you? Well, Doc?
Yeah? Air supply okay? Oxygen supply okay?
Fuel tanks and motor seem to be intact. No damage there as far as I can see.
Hello, Control. Luna calling.
Hello, Luna.
A meteor just hit us. Emergency procedures.
It certainly hit us somewhere.
But we seem to be all right, Jim.
Look, Doc, we've just been hit by a meteor. It must have done something to us.
But what?
Well, how should I know? Somebody will have to go out there and look.
What? But out there? Outside the ship? Into nothing?
I'll go.
No, Mitch. This is my job. Besides, you're more important to the crew than me. I'll go.
What, you mean there's a chance
that... It'll be the first time any man has ever been out there in space, and I designed the suit he'll wear.
Well, you tested it, didn't you?
As far as was possible on Earth, yes. But this is different. This is the real thing.
Look, let's not start another argument. We'll draw for it.
Well, fair enough.
All agreed?
Agreed.
Lemmy, get one of the navigational tables.
Yes.
Open it up. Place it face down on the control table with your eyes shut.
Right.
Okay, here goes.
We'll guess the page number. Whoever gets nearest goes outside. Okay? Mitch?
136.
Doc?
127.
Lemmy?
149.
And I'll take, 155. What is it, Lemmy?
153.
Then it's me. Stand by to open the airlock.
Airlock. Contact.
Airlock, full pressure.
Open the hatch. Right, I'm going down. Fastening helmet. Over to intercom.
Helmet fastened. Okay, I'm ready. Close the hatch and exhaust the airlock. Suit now inflating.
Air pressure of zero.
And open the main door, Doc. I'm going out.
What is it, Jet?
It's more beautiful than I ever dreamed.
What, the door?
No, the stars. Millions of them. Literally millions. Now, leaving door and walking upside a ship. I'll make a complete circuit.
How's the suit, Jet? Okay?
Fine.
How are the boots?
Perfect. Now hitching the safety lines. And walking towards nose.
Any sign of where the meteor hit us?
Not yet.
Here, ask him if he can see the moon.
One thing at a time, Lemmy. Finding where that meteor landed is more important.
I found it. About 13 feet from the nose.
That's damaged, Jet?
No, nothing to worry about. Must have been minute. Only a small area of the bumper has vaporized.
Well, let's thank our lucky stars it wasn't a larger one.
You must come out here, all of you. Come on. This is a sight you've got to see.
We can't all go. Somebody must stay.
Look, I'll stay, Mitch. You and Lemmy go.
You sure, Doc?
Yeah, yeah. By way of compensation, you can let me be the first to step on the moon.
It's a deal, Doc. Now, if you wouldn't mind opening the airlock again, Lemmy and I will get started.
What a sight! Did you ever see so many stars? So many different colors. Yeah, and they don't twinkle like they do on Earth.
There's no atmosphere to make them twinkle.
So small they look, and bright. Jet, how fast are we going?
About 2,000 miles an hour.
But we don't seem to be moving.
Oh, look at the moon, Emmy. Even from here, you can begin to see the mountains and craters on it.
How far off is she now?
About 100,000 miles.
Oh, no distance at all. Company bus ride. Yeah. Here, Jet, we must be off course.
Of course? How do you mean?
Well, the moon's not in front of us. It's to one side.
She'll be there when we are. She's moving towards our rendezvous all the time.
Hey, Jet, have you taken a look at the Earth yet?
Huh?
You can make out the African continent quite easily. And the southern ice cap. The reflection is brilliant.
Did you ever see anything like it? Oh, Mitch, if we never get to the moon, the trip was worth it. Just for this.
Jet, I'm going for a walk down under. See how things look from there.
Now, be sure your safety line is secure. We don't want you drifting off.
Don't worry, Jet boy. Oh, if only Peggy could see me now. She wouldn't know if I was on my head or my heels. No more than I do. Oh, what's that? It's the funny music again. Hello. Hello. Jet. Jet, can you hear me? Jet!
Hello, Lemmy. Hello, Lemmy. What's wrong?
Jet, that music. Did you hear it?
Music? What music?
Oh, you must have heard it. It was like it was right inside me.
Lemmy, pull yourself together. I heard no music. All I heard was you screaming.
But I was calling you before that. Didn't you hear me?
No.
Jet, look, let's get back into the ship. I heard it, I tell you. I heard it.
Calm down, Lemmy. Stay where you are. Now, don't attempt to re-enter the ship until I'm alongside you.
I heard it, I'll tell you. The same kind of music we heard when I got the radio working. Only this time, it was much louder. Like it was right inside my helmet. Oh, it was uncanny. It scared the living daylights out of me. It scares me now just to think of it.
Lemmy, if there had been any music, it must have been coming through your radio. And we'd have heard it too.
But there was, I'll tell you. I was calling you when it first came on. But you didn't hear me till it stopped.
Lemmy, lie on your bunk. Get some sleep.
Wait. I don't need sleep. Here, you don't believe me, do you? None of you believe me.
Now, come and lie down.
You believe me, don't you, Doc? You heard that music coming over the radio, didn't you?
I wasn't out there, Lemmy. What? I was here in the ship.
What's happening to him, Mitch?
What do you think's happening to him? I told you, he's unstable. A psychological misfit.
You have been listening to Episode 1 of Journey into Space with Andrew Foles as Jet Morgan, Alfie Bass as Lemmy, Guy Kingsley Pointer as Doc, and David Williams as Mitch. Other parts were played by John Casaubon. The orchestra was conducted by Van Phillips, who also composed the music. Journey into Space was written and produced for the BBC by Charles Chilton.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Oh, gosh, they all left.